The Dark Side of Coco Melon. Max Lucado gives an update on what's been happening at Gateway Church since the Robert Morris scandal. And the latest from Chris Reed. Plus, a very special Red Heifer update with Byron Stinson. I'm John Matarazzo for CharismaNews.com, and these are your midweek rundown stories. In this recent article, Isaiah Saldivar uncovers the sinister side of Coco Melon. Is there something sinister behind the world's most popular children's show? It is very important what we put in front of our kids' eyes and their ears. So what is really going on with this popular kids show? In a reaction video, Isaiah Saldivar shared how this kids' content has triggered all kinds of negative behaviors within its viewers. They say right now, ADHD is at a record-breaking high for kids. That's all no attention span. Kids can't sit through anything, sit through class, sit through a movie, because their attention spans are being ruined from shows like Coco Melon and from TikTok and from Instagram. The first thing the video shows is the deceptive ways that Coco Melon uses color patterns and saturation to addict children to what they're watching. He goes into a deeper explanation of this. It's really interesting, and you should check it out. Go to the link in the description so that you can read the article and watch the video as well. Not only are the contents of Coco Melon addicting for children, but the messaging behind the show has an agenda, from showcasing two fathers in an episode to creating a song about children, about a child refusing to brush their teeth or take a bath. It's teaching children to be rebellious. The internet has also exploded with parents discussing how their children became energized with rage, throwing tantrums after watching Coco Melon. Many even having speech delays. As Christians, we need to use wisdom and discernment with all media consumption, including the media that our children read, watch, and listen to. Definitely check this out if you're a parent or a soon-to-be parent as well. We want to make sure that be careful, little eyes, what you see. In an exclusive interview, Max Lucado shared with me what is really going on at Gateway Church. He gave an update on the church as he is taking an interim pastoral role with the megachurch as they're seeking a new permanent pastor following the resignation of Robert Morris earlier this summer. Max Lucado and Pastor Joachim Lundquist are sharing the teaching load at the Dallas megachurch. He says, the church is showing some beautiful signs of health. Here we are, almost 2.5 months, maybe 3 months into this. And initially, of course, understandably, they were all shell-shocked. But every time I go, I sense there's more energy, there's more joy, there's heartfelt worship, and they are being reminded, as any Christian is, at some point in their life, that we don't put our trust in a person, a leader, or a pastor. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what they're doing. They're trusting Christ. That's really important, and it's encouraging to see that the church is still continuing to grow and to move forward, despite the situation with Robert Morris. Please continue to pray for Gateway Church. And there's another update from Chris Reed, formerly of Morningstar, and he says, thank you for the good times. Recently, Reed released another video. He continues to speak about his time at Morningstar Ministries, this time giving a show of appreciation for all those that he worked with and ministered to during his time as the CEO and president of the ministry. Reed began his message by apologizing to all those who may be hurting in the middle of this storm. I just want to say to all of you who are hurting or confused or sad, I'm sorry for all of those things that you're feeling. To the victims, I'm deeply sorry. I really am, Reed says. Now, in the victims, you can click the hyperlink here to find out more about what he means by the victims. There is a court case going on with Morningstar that does not involve Chris Reed, but you can click the links in that there to see more about that. Now, also in this article is the video, so you can watch what he has to say. And he does say, to you, I want to say, I think of you. I pray for you. Please continue to pray for yet another church in a difficult situation. And right now I have with me a very special guest to talk about what is happening with the Red Heifers. Byron Stinson, it's great to have you back to kind of give us an update on the Red Heifer situation in Israel. And as we've talked before, you were integral in getting the Red Heifers to Israel, to Shiloh, where they are right now, preparing for this Red Heifer
ceremonial sanctification sacrifice. So tell us what's been going on.
Well, John, it's over in Israel. The rabbis have had possession of the cows now for they became of age back in February, March. And then they've been preparing the things they need to be able to do the ceremony there. Of course, the war has been going on during that whole time, and the nation is really fighting towards protecting themselves. So it's kind of it's been complicated, but it's moving forward. One of the things that we had five cows we shipped over there. Out of the five, three are still pure and could still be used for the ceremony. Two have started growing a couple of white or black hairs that disqualify them for the ceremony. They're still very good animals that could produce another red heifer. So what we've done, and this is, you'll be the second one to hear about this, is what we've done is we have actually arranged for the cows to be inseminated with semen from the reddest bulls that we could find in the whole world. And so we now have those two re-inseminated. And of course, they could have a bull calf instead of a heifer calf. We won't know about that. But we're starting that process. So we're going to build a herd out of any that aren't used. It's only one needed for the ceremony. And so we're doing that just for future generations. So that was exciting to have that done this week. Actually, just 3 days ago, we did this.
So that's already happened.
Yes. The cows are in Shiloh, which the Shiloh is the place where there would have been a red heifer ceremony there, just as there was a red heifer ceremony in the wilderness with Moses when the tabernacle was first built. And then there had been a red heifer ceremony at Gilgal. And then there would have been red heifer ceremonies up there at Shiloh. And so the cows have been down by Gilgal first. Now they're at Shiloh. And we need to take one with a priest that's prepared for the ceremony and do that on the Mount of Olives. Of course, we have the property on the Mount of Olives. We have that in our possession. We have, it's not me doing it. I just helped get the cows there and friends with all of them because I worked hard to get the cows there. So I get some information. I really don't have the full inside track on everything because it's their responsibility of the fathers of faith over there. Yeah. But they do share with me how they're doing, and it's moving forward. So I think we could see it this fall. I think we could see that ceremony. And I think it's important that they go ahead and follow the words of the Bible and do that if they can. If not, then it'll happen. When God's ready, it'll happen. And I think it's getting closer and closer. Everybody can see that. So
So this has to be done by a priest. And so there are qualifications of the priest. And so there was qualifications for the red heifers as well.
Yes.
What is the process for the priest, and how close are they to the priest being ready as well?
So what's happened is everyone is contaminated by death. We see death on everything you can look at, whether it be a wall, a TV screen, people themselves. You know, humanity is not able to delve into the world of eternity because of this death that's on the whole earth. The process of the red heifer is to bring back a water of purity, to bring back the ability to come closer to that eternal life, to bring life back. And so the priest, when he's born, this young priest, he has to come from a priestly family. He has to be born not in a hospital because there's too much death in a hospital. He's born away from that. He's kept away from cemeteries and kept away from death as much as possible on earth. So he's as pure as anyone on earth could be away from this thing called death. And so then he's the one that selected to actually do the ceremony. Now, people don't understand. They think it might be cruel. But actually, one of the main things when you're doing the ceremony is to never let the animal feel any pain. I don't know if you've ever been cut so sharply by something that you didn't even realize you were cut, or burned by something and it didn't even hurt because it was so quick. And so this is kind of the way the ceremony happens, is this priest has to be able to make the animal bleed without the animal even knowing it's been cut. And it just goes to sleep. That's part of the process of making sure there's no cruelty in this process. And unlike you would see in a meat plan or something like that, where there's not care for that. And then the animal is completely burned and the ashes collected along with the ashes of all the wood that went into it. You have the wood that is from the cedars of Lebanon. You have wood that's from the hyssop plant or hyssop tree. You have the all the other wood that's collected and used in that too. So altogether, it's really not, you know, you have everything about the cows in it. Of course, there's also the blood, which is so important throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us there's no atonement for this death except by blood. And so this animal's blood is a representation for me as a believer in Yeshua of his blood that was shed for all to be able to connect back to God. But this is the way that our Jewish fathers of faith have been instructed by God to connect back to him through the blood of this animal. And so they're following the playbook, the Bible, that says, do it like this. They're just doing what God says to do. For me, I'm following the playbook that I know in my heart is belief in Yeshua, who gave his blood. And he's the one that gave me the waters of purification, because he was the living water. And so it's all the same thing. It's an image of each other. One is more physical and one is more spiritual. And God, I think, is now taking both the physical and the spiritual and making these two things come together so that both of us, both Christians and Jews, can see that we're from the same family. We're from the family that God selected out of all the families of the earth. He selected Abraham, and he put his name on the Jewish people. And then because of disbelief, they were exiled into the nations, but with a promise from every single prophet that in the last days they would be returned to the very land of Israel. Their God would make them a strong nation, that he would stand up over them and protect them during that time. And then this process of building a third temple that will be for his glory on the holy mountain of God. Anybody wants to look into that, turn to Micah 4. You'll see that there's a prophecy that people from everywhere in the world will come in the last days. They'll come to the mountain of the Lord, and there at the mountain of the Lord, they will see the temple sitting there, and God will rule over the earth and bring peace to the earth. And that's what we know as the 1,000-year reign of kingdom of God that Jesus told us, pray that this kingdom would come, that God's will would be done on earth. It is all coming about, both spiritual and physical. It's a joint thing that God is doing to bring us back to the hope of eternal life. That's what this is all about on both sides. We just have to realize that we're walking the story from two different directions, but it's the same story. And so that's what we're in the middle of seeing right now with the red heifer ceremony.
Yeah.
By the way, John, you might be interested. I wrote a book. It'll be coming out, I hope, by October the 5th or 6th. It's called Hunt for the Red Heifer. And love for y'all to have, you know, it'll tell more about the whole story of how we found them. So be watching for that book to come out that I was able to put together. It's coming out through Amazon.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, just looking at the calendar here, we have Rosh Hashanah, which is on October 2nd through 4th. Yom Kippur is October 11th and 12th.
Yes.
Sukkot, which is the first days of that, is October 16th through 18th.
Yeah.
And then Simchat Torah is October 23rd through 25th.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that the sacrifice could happen this fall, those are dates that we want to be keeping our eyes on. So I want to encourage everybody to keep an eye out for what is happening and stay tuned to charismanews.com, because we will get this information to you as quickly as possible as it happens. So, and Byron Stinson, thank you.
I'm on my way right now, so feel free to contact me over there, and I'll give you an update as I hear more.
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. Okay. We will do that. Thank you, Byron.
All right. God bless you.
For more information on these stories and others, go to charismanews.com and make sure that you subscribe to this YouTube channel. Click the links right here to see other videos that we are suggesting as well. I'm John Matarazzo for Charisma News.